Okay, we're picking up the Gemara on Daf Dalet Amud Aleph. We are two lines from the top of the words, Teven Uvitlo. Just to remember, remind ourselves, the Gemara was just telling us that a person was trying to raise the sikkel floor because his ceiling, the schach, was too high. The schach was above 20 amos. So he mentioned that if you did it with karim uksosos, if you did it with mattresses and cushions, that would not be valid because we're afraid you're going to come to remove it. You're going to remove it at some point. And batla daito etzel adam, even if you say you're not going to. So now the Gemara mentions teven uvitlo. However, if you do this with straw on the sikkel floor, and we're going to mention Rashi says you actually have to make this declaration of a pay. You have to verbally say this. Have a mute. This does not, this is going to be a valid miut. It's like reducing it, reduction on the sukkah's height, and that's going to be okay. The kol shekein alfar bitlo, and then kol shekein if you spread dirt on the sukkah floor, and also the peh, you abandon it. If you do it verbally, that would be okay, and that's not going to be a problem. So Rashi just makes two ha'aras, important to note. Rashi says that, that firstly, you just have to make the bittul, you have to abandon it, only for the 7 days of chag, not any more than that. And the second halach he also says is that it can't just be believe, it actually has to be bepeh. You actually have to do it with your mouth and actually verbally say it. The Ritva disagrees on both these points, claiming the Gemara never says that there's any issue with doing it spoke, that you have to do it bepeh. Who says you have to do it speaking? It would not be an issue. And also he says, and also the second point, that you could just do it for the 7 days of Chag, according to the Ritva, no, you have in mind you're not going to use them at all, because we're afraid maybe if you say that you're going to use it in 10 days from now, maybe you'll want to use it in 5 days from now during Sukkot. So both of these points, he disagrees with Rashi, okay? It's a very interesting question in Rashi, just the klal, that's why over here do I need the Achronim deal with this, why over here do I need a bittel bepeh with my mouth, whereas bittel chametz, where I could just have in mind that I don't need to get rid of it. I don't actually have to say anything. Why over here should it be any different? So that's a very interesting thing. Some of the Achronim say that there by chametz it's different because chametz we know is something that the Torah puts in your shoes. You don't want the chametz anyway. So since the Torah is bringing it into your shoes, kilu, you don't actually have to say anything to get rid of it. You don't have to say anything to get rid of it. That would be okay. So different answers given why it should be different. But according to Rashi, it is that you verbally have to say something over here in order to say that you're not going to use it. And again, the kol shekein she'afar, when it comes to the dirt, obviously, if I could use if there's something I might use straw. But when it comes to dirt, obviously kol shekein, I'm not going to use the straw. Use the dirt. Now the Gemara continues. The Gemara says teven vein asid lifnaso. If someone has straw on the floor of your sukkah and you will not plan on removing it in the future, so then even though in this case you don't actually explicitly say you're not going to use it during the chag, v'afar stam, according to Rashi, v'afar stam, or if he just spread dirt on the sukkah floor without stating what he plans on doing it. And in this case, Rashi just points out that this is even a less das over here. You don't even have, it's less than in stam because with the owner, we don't know at all that he will, if he's going to need the dirt for the chag of Sukkot. So that would be, the Gemara points out, is machlokas Rabbi Yossi v'Rabbanan. And this would in fact be machlokas Rabbi Yossi and Rabbanan. That's not as we learn in the Mishnah. This Mishnah is in all us. Those just point out that we're paraphrasing the Mishnah. It's not an exact quote. Bayis shemalu teven utsharos. If one has filled a house, we had straw or different types of pebbles, ubitlo. And then he decides to bepeh, again, I'm going to keep saying verbally, according to Rashi, abandon them, mivutal, they're going to be nullified in his house, and therefore the house is going to be considered completely filled with tumah, and you're not going to have a case of tumah. What in the world is going on over here? So Rashi points out, we have this din of olos, we learn that an ol needs a chalal tefach, it needs an airspace of a tefach. If it has an airspace of a tefach, then ein bokas l'malam min hagag. Then if there's a roof enclosed in it, then it will not go past that roof. This is halacha l'moshe mi-Sinai, that the tuma goes bokav olas, bokav yeredes, it's lashon of the Mishnah, that it will go up to Shemayim, up and down, is only if there is no chalal tefach. If there is a chalal tefach, an empty space of a tefach, between the dead body, or at least a kazayas of a mace, and the covering, then it's not going to be, if there's at least a tefach, an empty space, then the covering is going to be defined as an ol. The tuma will not go past the covering. So that's what we're stating over here. So now, in the case where the house was completely filled in with tuma, and it's going up to the roof, we can learn from the Mishnah, that if you're being mevatel them, then we're going to view it as if the house is containing the dead body, was filled to the ceiling, and it left no empty space beneath the roof. If it's so full and submerging the house of Ishbet is going to be considered that it's mevutal, and therefore the roof is no longer acting as a separation anymore, and therefore the tomb would be able to go through it. However, if the is not going to be considered part of the house of Ishbet is going to remain. So we're wondering over here, so then do you have to mevatal it or not? So the Gemara says, bitlo in, if he verbally decided to abandon the sharp pebbles, they are going to be considered mevutal. Lo bitlo lo, however, if he does not abandon them, they're not going to be considered permanently in the place, and therefore the Tana's Mishnah is telling us that unless you actually explicitly state your das, you want to get rid of it, then when it comes to the tevin otzros, when it comes to the straw or the pebbles, the straw or the pebbles are going to be considered as already being removed from the house. Therefore, a tefachah space is still considered underneath the roof, which would therefore, then you'd have a barrier, a separation to not have the tumah go weiter, not have the tumah continue rising up. That's the Tana is telling us over here, that when we know the person is not planning on using it. So now the Gemara wants to be bedayik, the fact, lo bit lo, that we're understanding that if you don't actually verbally announce it, then it's not going to be considered a permanent place. V'tani Allah, and the Braisa told us, Rabbi Yossi Omer Tevin Ve'in Asi Luknosa. Rabbi Yossi says, the straw, and you'll not need to remove it in the future, Reyu Ka'afar Stam. In that case, it's going to be comparing to fill the house with dirt, without any explicit das. You don't have any specific intention here over here. Ubatel, therefore the straw is going to be nullified and considered permanently part of the place. Afar vasif noso, and where you fill the house in the dirt, and there you're planning on removing in the future, areyu kistam tevin. In that case, it's going to be compared to the case of straw without specific intention. Velo batel, the dirt is not going to be nullified, meaning it's not considered permanently in place in that case. Rabbi Yossi is arguing the Tanakama in both cases. He's disagreeing with the fact that the cases which we're assuming when it comes to the case of tsroros, of pebbles, which are going to be similar to the case of afar, which of dirt, so then the Tana held that in all cases we are going to require a bittul with a bittul bepet. You actually do it you actually have to verbally announce it. So, or meaning that just knowing that you're not going to need that item, that's not going to be enough. Rabbi Yossi is going to understand that in the case there's going to be a difference. In the case of Tevin, when it comes to the straw, then even where you don't make it bepet, you don't verbally announce it, that is going to be mevutel, because we know the owner has no use for it. Rabbi Yossi is going to be even more lenient in the case of afar, of dirt. He's telling us that not only do you not need to verbally announce it, even if we don't know at all what he plans on doing, it's going to be bevutal on its own because we assume that he has no intention there. Meaning Tevin is a little more. We have to at least know that he didn't plan on using it. Whereas, you still don't need to verbally announce it, but we need to know that that was his plan. But when it comes to the offer, you don't even need to know that was the plan. We can just assume that way. So, when it comes to the dirt, only if we know for sure that the owner is going to remove the dirt, then would Rabbi Yossi be machbir. So basically, to summarize, we have three categories. We have Tevin Va'afar Ubitlo. The first case, we have straw dirt, and you're going to verbally announce it. The Tana and Rabbi Yossi are going to agree that that's going to be Mevutel based on where they are. In the second case of Tevin Va'afar Ve'enad Asilif Noso, in the case of dirt, and you're unaware of the owner needs it, and Rabbi Yossi would compare that to Afar Stam, Rabbi Yossi is going to hold that when it comes to the Tevin or Tsoros, the Tevin and the Afar, the straw and the dirt, they are going to be Mevutel, while the Tana of the Mishnah is going to understand that they are not mevutel. That is the second case. The third case is that we're going to have afar, and then of course, obviously, v'tevin, v'asid noso, in the case where you have straw, and you don't actually are doing anything with peh, then it's going to be, everyone's going to agree that the straw and dirt are going to be, where we know that the owner needs them and he plans on using them, then Rabbi Yossi is going to agree that we're going to be machmir in that case. Okay, now the Gemara continues. The Gemara says, "Ha'isa gavoma esrim amma." So another thing about 20 amos, if the sukkah is taller than 20 amos, v'hutzin yordin sof esrim amma, and you have leaves of type of red arch describes as palm branches that are going to be part of the schach, and the leaves of the palm branches are actually dangling down. They're not just exactly there. They're dangling down the airspace within 20 amos of the floor of the sukkah. So now you want to use ki'ilu, meaning the within the top part of your sukkah, you're above 20 amos. But if you count the fact that the leaves are protruding downwards, then it would be below 20 amos. So the Gemara says, if they're shade, the shade by dafka, the leaves that are falling down, that are protruding downwards, if those leaves are providing more sunlight, if they are providing more shade rather than sunlight, then the sukkahs be valid because we're viewing it as if that those are the ikar part of the schach. Since those are the ikar part of the schach, we're not going to have to be worried about the schach that's on top of it. If they're not, then psula, the sukkah is going to remain pasul. So you need this latter part to be considered the schach of the sukkah. That would make it okay. And if it's not, meaning you don't have enough shade coming from them, then it's going to be puzzle. Haisa gavoa asarat fachim. What about a sukkah that's exactly 10 tefachim tall, which is the minimum share for a sukkah now? Vehutzin yordin l'socha asar, and the leaves of the palm branches are going to be dangling downwards. So then it should be l'chor the exact opposite. Here again, we don't want to count the leaves. So Abaye thought that way. So then that should be the case. If there is more sunlight coming in than shade, normally that's a psul. But here, meaning from these leaves, they're not affecting the shade enough. They're not creating the shade enough to say that there's more shade coming in than sunlight. Rather, more sunlight is coming in than shade from these leaves that are protruding. So then Abaye thought that would be kosher because they're not considered kosher schach, and it shouldn't be an issue. However, on this point, Rava disagreed. He said, "Ha dira srucha here. In this case, it's unpleasant to be in such a sukkah. Srucha, like the smelly. It's not good to be in this. It's unpleasant to be in the sukkah. A person does not live in this type of sukkah because it is smaller than the shir. And since it's smaller than the shir, even though Abaye theoretically should be right in the lambdas of what goes on with chamasa merubat silasa, you don't really count the bottom ones. But there's another point that Rav is bothered by. We can't define this as a proper shir, a sukkah, because it is going to be, it's not a proper shir. It's not pleasant to live in such a thing where it's less than 10 tefachim. So now the Gemara continues. Haisa gavoa me'asrim amah. If the sukkah was taller than 20, almost back to this topic. Ubana ba itztaba. And someone built a platform. The picture's actually on the side of the Gemara. I always wondered when those were added in, but they're actually pretty helpful over here. So you have in the first case, the sukkah with your three walls, and then you built this itztaba is a type of a platform. So you build it where it's connected to all three walls of the sukkah. That's very important because it's going to be where kilu going to be considered that part of the sukkah kosher in its own right. We're going to see that in a moment. So opposite the entire face of the middle wall, that again, it's touching all three walls, as the picture on the side of the Gemara is here, have very nicely for us. The yesh b'hachshar sukkah. And this platform itself has the minimum shear of a sukkah itself. Kshera, then the sukkah is going to be kosher. So in this case, we're assuming that since the itztaba has the shear of a valid sukkah and it has three walls connected to it, since the airspace that is creating the schach is not going above 20 amos in this area, again, because the itztaba is more than a tefach, so then you don't have 20 amos, so then the area is going to be considered a kosher area. And Rashi points us, and then what about the rest of the sukkah? Maybe only that area should be kosher as a sukkah. The rest of the sukkah should be pasul. No, Rashi says, based on the Gemara we're going to get to in Daf Yud Tes, the Gemara has a concept of psala yotzim in a sukkah nidon kasukkah. That if you have a thing that's coming and protruding from a sukkah that's pasul, it's going to be valid. Where the schach of a valid sukkah is going beyond the sukkah sidewalls, so the area beneath the extending schach, even though it's pasul schach, is going to be considered kosher schach, and even if you're sitting under that pasul schach, that is going to be kosher. So what's the svar behind this? The reasoning is because that just in the other cases, we view the sukkah walls as extending to the surrounding area underneath the schach. So here, we're viewing that the itztaba itself, the platform itself, is extending through the sukkah. It's a fascinating thing that's going on over here. So that would be kosher in that circumstance. Okay, so then uminat sad, and if he built the platform on the side of the sukkah, so here you use the second picture, where it's only coming on one of the walls, and not all three of the walls, it's on your right side over there, so that it could theoretically be on the left also. It's just the point is that it's not touching all three walls. So then it's going to depend. Then the Gemara tells us the ksheru min atzad. Then when you come from the walls, the side of the sukkah, then it's going to depend. Im yesh misfas itztabala kotel arba amos. If there is from the edge of the platform until the opposite wall a distance of 4 amos, then psula sukkah, meaning 4 amos or above, the sukkah is going to be pasul. So because we only have two walls in the sukkah, we know that you need two walls, and we're going to see a tefach. Actually, in this tefach, we're going to see that already. That you need two walls of tefach. You only have two walls in this case, so you don't consider to have three walls. However, pachlos marba amos, if the distance of this the itztaba to the other third wall is less than 4 amos, kshera, the sukkah is going to be kosher. Here, we're implementing the law that we mentioned in the introduction to Masechet Sukkah as dofen akuma, literally the bent wall. This law tells us, this halacha is telling us that to qualify as a sukkah, you're allowed to bend up less than 4 amos of the wall and assume that it's going to, that the schach is going to go past that wall itself as a curve extension that continues until the exact opposite edge of where the schach is. And therefore, we measure the schach's height from the edge of, in this case, of the Itztaba until the extension, which is going to be less than 4 amos, and therefore it's considered valid schach. Even though the bottom of the third wall doesn't actually touch that area, so, and it's more than 20 amos, still the airspace of schach is going to be considered as if we view it on a lof stone, like on a vertical line, from the edge of the itztaba to the upper part of the wall, and therefore we consider that you have kasher schach over there, and the entire third wall is going to be considered a fine area. So machlokas rishonim, where if you sit in that area, so. Is that considered sitting in a valid sukkah or not? So that we assume that it's not, but I think there are those Rishonim that disagree with that. We assume that Allah Chalamaisu Nam. If I'm not mistaken, there are Rishonim that assume that maybe there you would be able to light a sukkah like the first case. But we hold that either way, we hold the Maisa that that area of Dofan Akuma is not considered covered. Therefore, it's not considered valid schach. The sukkah is kosher, but you cannot sit under that area. So now the Gemara says. So the Gemara now says, "My kamash milad." So what is this ruling teaching us? You're going to tell us the Amrinan Dofan Akuma. All it is the halacha we just discussed. The Dofan Akuma is not such an easy halacha to know. But where the Gemara says, "Tanina," well, when we get to the Mishnah, already taught us that we'll get to when we get to Zion over there. The Mishnah is going to tell us this halacha. Ba'ish nifta fasika lav gavav. If you have a house which the roof was opened up in the middle, and the owner puts schach over the opening of the sukkah, so therefore it collapsed in the middle in the house. You're trying to make the sukkah, just making the sukkah in the middle part of the sukkah. So then the Mishnah tells you, "Im yesh min hakosa l'sichuch arba amos." If there's a distance of 4 amos from the wall to the schach, psula, meaning 4 and above, it's going to be puzzle. You need the schach to be considered part of the walls. You don't have that over there because more than arba amos. However, ha pachos mikan kshira. The Mishnah is implying that if the distance is less than 4 amos, now we could use the lacha of dofen akuma, the bent wall. I tell you that it's as if the sukkah walls are going to be considered connecting to that schach, and therefore it's going to be a dofen akuma halacha l'Moshe v'Sinai that it should be kosher. So the Gemara says, if we have the Mishnah telling us this halacha, why do I need to mention this halacha twice? So the Gemara says, "Ma'ad Sima, why do I need to mention it twice? Because I would have thought hasam udechazil ledofen." There, in the Mishnah's case, that we are telling the halacha of dofen akuma, I would have said the bent wall is only because there the each wall of the house is actually fit for the usage of the wall. It meets the meaning; it's not more than 20 amos. So therefore, when you're doing dofen akuma, when you're bending the walls, it's only bringing them to say that it's if the schach is touching them. Fine, that's dofen akuma over there. Aval hachab dilo chazal dofen. The third wall is above 20 amos. I would have thought that you can't say dofen akuma. Emelah, I would have thought that you can't say dofen akuma to view it as if that third wall is not going to be more than 20 amos because of the itztaba, because of the platform. So therefore, kamash man, the Gemara is telling us that no, we do say the lacha of dofen akuma even in the case of the itztaba to tell you that it is a valid sukkah. Now the Gemara says, "Ha'isak v'av ma'eshim amma." If the sukkah was taller than 20 amos, ubana itztaba b'emtziyasa, and someone built a platform in the middle to reduce the height of the sukkah, so then it's going to demand im yesh misfas itztaba of dofen arba amos sukkah ruach v'ruach. If there is from the edge of the platform until the wall of the sukkah a distance of arba amos in each direction, then psula. However, pachas arba amos, but if you use it in the middle, this one we don't have a picture, but just imagine the bottom picture. Just put that. It's the butt in the middle, as opposed to all the way on the side. So then, we're telling you, meaning it's only connected to one wall now. So we're telling you over here, the chiddush is that if it's pachas arba amos, sure, that if it's less than arba amos from both walls, the wall on the one right and the one on the left, it's less than 4 amos, so then the Mishnah is telling you chiddush that we can say dofen akuma. The Gemara says, what do you mean? We just learned that halacha of dofen akuma. My kamash malan, damrinan dofen akuma. You tell me that we're the halachas of dofen akuma, we can say that the bent wall, as if the itztaba extends past those two, the schach is going to extend past to the itztaba on both sides, and we're going to say dofen akuma and bent wall. We know that halacha already. We know that halacha from the previous case. So the Gemara says, no, because maybe Ma'ud is saying, I would have thought that this was only going to be when dofen akuma ruach achas amrinan. We would only say the laws of the bent wall if it is from one direction. However, aval kol ruach v'ruach lo. But you're going to tell me you're using it simultaneously to connect both walls together. That is going to be a major issue. So I would have thought we would not say dofen akuma to at the same time to use it on both sides, both to the right and to the left of you. To say dofen akuma kamashman. The second ruling is telling us that in fact we do say dofen akuma in both directions. Another related halacha, the Gemara says, "Pchusa me'asar tefachim." If the sukkah was less than 10 tefachim tall, v'chakuk ba kedei lashlima la'asara. If one dig a pit in the middle of its floor, so here we're asking a question where it's a minimum shear, the opposite end of it. We're still not in the maximum shear, but we're talking about the minimum shear. So you have the sukkah less than 10 tefachim, and I dug a pit in the middle of the floor to complete it to 10 tefachim. And that is the minimum shear of a sukkah. So then, here, we're only using the lacha of lavud. We're saying that if it's going to be less than 3 tefachim for the edge of the paint until the sukkah wall, it's going to be more rather than 3, it's going to be more than 3 tefachim for the edge of the paint until the sukkah wall, then psula, then the sukkah is going to be invalid. However, turning on to the next topic. Now, pachos mishlosha tefachim. If it is less than 3 tefachim, then it's going to be kshira. So here we're using the area of the pit as part of a halacha of lavud. Lavud tells us that when you have, it's halacha Moshe B'Sinai also, that when you have something less than 3 tefachim, it is a valid way of closing the gaps and consider it as if it's filled in. If it's filled in, so here in our case, we're assuming that you need two sections of the sukkah walls. You have the sides of the pit and the walls of the sukkah through lavud. The schach has to be on walls of 10 tefachim high. So we're extending the walls, but you need to have the walls extend from within 3 tefachim of each side of the pit. Otherwise, you're not going to have 3 walls in your sukkah over here. And here we're using the halacha of lavud. So the Gemara says, so why by Dofen Akuma with the bent wall? We extend it all the way till 4 amos. It's much bigger. 4 amos is anywhere from 6 to close to 8 feet. However, 3 tefachim is like 10 inches. So obviously tremendously smaller. So the Gemara says, why when it comes to lovewood, we're selling the principle of lovewood is teaching you that maybe we should say, maybe something similar to Dofen Akuma. That we should say that when it comes to the pit, we should say that the sukkah is going to be kasha as long as the pit within 4 amos of the sukkah walls. We would view the schach not directly above the pit as the extension of the sukkah walls. So the walls above the schach's pit, in this way the schach would be considered connected to things that are 10 tefachim high. So the Gemara answers, Hasam de Isa Ladofen, there you have a halachic wall. We know that all walls are 10 tefachim. So Pachos Ma'arba, we know from Mishnah, well, from Erevin. Pachos Ma'arba Arma Sagya. So therefore, then all you need is less than anything less than Arba Amos is going to be considered okay in our case. So that's going to be lacha of a dofen akuma. However, hacha l'shavya l'dofen. Here in the case we are creating a lachik wall, pachos v'shosh v'tvachim in ilo lo. That if the walls are going to be less than 3 tvachim, that would be okay to consider the schach as the sukkah as an extension of that wall. However, if you don't have that, it's going to be different. So we're apparently learning that the lacha l'moshe m'sinai is telling you that when it comes to an existing halachic wall, then you can extend it. But you can't use this halacha of Dofen Akuma to create a new wall. Since there are ways, the case over here, we're trying to create a new wall, then we would only be allowed to use Lavud and not be using Dofen Akuma. Now the Gemara continues, Haisa gavo me'esrim amos. If the sukkah was taller than 20 amos, ubana ba'amud shu gavo asar tefachim. And you built over here a pillar, which is 10 tefachim tall, v'yesh bo hechser sukkah, and it contains a minimum amount that would be required for a sukkah. So the Gemara says, Savar Abai, remember, good asik mechitzta. This is another concept of Erevin. Abai said that maybe we should assume that if the pillar itself is 10 tefachim, so the pillar itself, so then what you could do is you view all of those, if you remember, even like a flat surface that's 10 tefachim, a box, which is 10 tefachim, let's say a square, which is 10 tefachim, you can say that we're going to extend all the sides of this box as if there are walls there, and therefore you'd be creating this, like these an imaginary but like halachic walls, in which case you would be able to have a kosher sukkah. So then we would be able to view these 10 tefachim as extending upwards, and therefore he's telling us that since you have over here with regards to this amud, the pillar, which the sides themselves are 10 tefachim, so then we could view it as the top being 10 tefachim high, and then you have over 7 tefachim squared in the middle, then you're going to have the minimum shear of a sukkah, and it should be a valid sukkah. So the Gemara says, Amar le'rava, Rava responds to Abaye, that no, ba'ayin ha-mechitzos ha-nikaros, you need noticeable walls for a sukkah. In this case, v'leika, you don't have noticeable walls. According to Rava, these walls, these theoretical halachic walls that you are creating, the good asik, they can't say that they're going to validate the sukkah. Because even though with regards to on Shabbos, we're assuming that does create a separate rishus, it does create a different domain, it's going to be a rishus ayachid, when it comes to halachas of sukkah that you need a dira for, and a dira can only be something would have something that's somewhat noticeable. Here, it's not somewhat noticeable, and therefore, these laws would not extend to the halachas of sukkah, and therefore it only by mechitzas, by Hilchos Shabbos, and we saw an Erevin a lot, and that when it comes to sukkah, that would not be the same halachas. Now the Gemara says, we learn in a braisa, na'atz arba kindasim v'sika chagaban. If you have four poles in the roof of a house and you place schach across them without building any walls between the poles, Rabbi Yaakov machshir v'chachamim posel. Rabbi Yaakov says that it's kosher and the chachamim are posel. They say that it's invalid. The Gemara says, Amar Rav Huna. Rav Huna wanted to suggest machlokas al svas hagag. The machlokas between Yaakov and the chachamim is where the poles were on the four edges of the roof of the house. Rabbi Yaakov savrar minan good asik mechitza, where Rabbi Yaakov is going to understand that we would say that you can extend and raise up the walls, and therefore the poles were stuck into the four corners of the roof. The walls of the house are directly below these area, and the rule of good asik can tell us that we're extending the walls upward, so they become part of the walls of the sukkah as well. And therefore, we're not going to say that good asik is a problem. You don't want something hanikar. Apparently, he's not bothered by that. Rabbanan savrar lomer good asik mechitza, whereas the chachamim are saying maybe like Rava svara that they don't know the good asik because it's not noticeable. It's not noticeable. So the Gemara says, "Aval be'emtza gag." However, when it comes to if you have poles that were in the middle of the roof, then it should be according to that. You don't have any principle saying that there should be valid walls because there's nothing to extend on the side. There's no good asik over there. So therefore, divrei kolpsul, according to them, everyone should be say that this is going to be invalid. Now the Gemara continues, "Rav Nachman, Rav Emtza gag machlokas." No, even there, when it comes to in the middle of the roof, that should be a machlokas. So according to Rav Nachman, Rav Yaakov does view the poles as valid sukkah walls, and therefore the Brisa is telling us that if these things, they have to be at least a tefach thick lechora along the north and south side of the sukkah, and also you're going to need one also in the other corner from east to west. So then it's going to be considered surrounded by four walls, and therefore he's going to assume that those four walls are going to be enough. That is the opinion of Rav Nachman. So the Gemara asks, Ibailu, according to Rav Nachman, be'emtza gag machlokas, he's going to assume that only in the middle is there a machlokas, aval sfasa gag divrei kol kshir, according to Rav Nachman, on the edge of the roof, everyone's going to agree that it's valid, and therefore we're going to assume that everybody in this case, according to Rav Nachman, agrees to good asik in the case, I guess Rav Nachman would hold like a baye. Oh, dilma, bein bezu, bein bezu machlokas. According to Rav Nachman, maybe they're both machlokas, that would be like Rava. So the Gemara says, teiku, that we're not sure what Rav Nachman really held. Now the Gemara continues, Meisive. So they had a question on Rav Huna's explanation of the Machlokas Tanaim. Not on the case of Not Arba Kudasim, but Surah Vesikach Gaban, Biakam Machshacham Poslin. So the Gemara asks, Veha, Eret Kemta Gagdami. Now isn't the ground similar to the middle of the roof? And in that case, they're not directly below the poles, and yet we see Kamachshir B'Yakov. Yaakov says the sukkah is valid. Tiyuf to the Rav Huna. The Brisa is going to be lechora against Rav Huna because he said that Rav Yaakov agrees when the poles are stuck into the middle of the roof, it's going to be posel. Here we seemingly have a Brisa, which seems to say explicitly that Rav Yaakov would say that case is also kosher, unlike Rav Huna. So the Brisa says Tiyuf to Rav Huna, Tiyuf. Really, in fact, it is a double knockout. That's why we say it's a knockout when we say double Tiyuf to, and we in fact reject Rav Huna. Now the Gemara continues, Va'od. Further, we say that when talking about the second brisa with regards to poles that are stuck into the ground, that implies in the first brisa another question of Huna. Be'emtzu de pligi, only in the case of the middle of the roof, the Chachamim are arguing with Rabbi Yaakov. Aval asfas hagag, when the poles are on the roof's edge, divrei kol kshir, everyone's going to agree that the sukkah is valid. So Gemara asks, and this also limitiv to the Rav Huna. This should also be a question on Rav Huna, because Rav Huna said in the second statement that everyone's going to say that when it comes to the sukkah that in the middle of the roof, everyone's going to say that it's puzzle. The Brisa is telling us over here that if we can compare the case of the poles being stuck in the ground, Rabbi Yaakov is going to say that it's machlokas l'chachamim. So therefore, this also is seemingly a problem with Rav Huna. The Gemara says, no, maybe amalecha Rav Huna. This isn't a question on the shita of Rav Huna, because pligi be'emtza gag. Rabbi Yaakov and the chachamim argue when the poles are in the middle of the roof. What did Elsfasagam? The same thing with regards to the roof edge. They would also argue. So why are you mentioning the machlokas only with regards to the middle of the roof? Because we want to inform you how lenient Rabbi Yaakov is. That even in the middle of the sukkah, he's going to be machshir. Why don't we want to teach you the koach of the chachamim that even on the side of the gag they're being machmir? Because we have a principle of koach te'etera adif. We always want to mention things that are more lenient that koach te'etera than being the chiddush lechumra. Now the Gemara continues. Tanur Rabbanan, we learn in a brisa Na'at arba kandasin ve'aretz v'zikach al gaban. If you drove four poles into the ground and placed tzchach across them, Rabbi Yaakov Omer roein kol she'ilu yechak. We see that the poles, if they were made into a shape of a square, then v'yichaleku, and they were split up. That meaning that over here we're talking about you make it into, if they're able to make a right angle of a tefach, v'yishman tefach l'kan v'tefach l'kan. You're going to have a tefach in this direction, a tefach in that direction. Meaning that each side is theoretically going to have a tefach running across it. Meaning pretend you have a circle and you're just trying to make a right angle of a tefach by tefach on this right angle. So then nidonin mishum diumad. Then we're going to have the lacha of a diumad. Diumad is literally the double post. Remember that in Erevin, the diumad was a special halacha that we had with regards to carrying in the area of the wells. We wanted to have the boros over there. We wanted the wells that were specifically for the Olei HaRegel. We wanted to have a kula for them to be able to drink water and draw water there and to make it into a Soyachit. So we had a special kula that they said that you're allowed to have an L, four shapes L's, four L's in a square, make a square of four L's. And then that each one they have to be two amas, one amma on each side. And then you don't need to cover the whole area in the middle. So this is called dumadin. Dumadin literally is dayo amudin, that two posts literally. So it's called like a double post. So then we can apply this halacha to the sukkah as well. Vimlav. If we're not thick enough to say that it's a tefach in each direction, ain't a mishum duma. They're not going to be considered a double post. Shai Rabbi Yaakov Omer, because Yaakov said duma de sukkah tefach. When it comes to the double post of a sukkah, it must be a tefach. It's allowed to be a tefach long. The Chachamim say ad shi'ushtayim kilchas and the shlishis is afilu tefach, that the sukkah is not going to be valid unless there are two proper walls and the third one even a tefach long. That we're going to mention later, that this is going to be halacha l'moshe b'sina, that the third one only needs to be a tefach. We're going to get to that on the vav, but then we're going to mention over here that when it comes to the double post, they're not allowed to be used as sukkah walls. They have to have two walls that run the entire length, but they disagree with Rabbi Yaakov. So now, you know what? We'll pick up with She'ena Gavoa, Asar Tzvachim, Be'ezet Hashem, in tomorrow's daf.